guys, welcome back to the Lovin' Dubai show. Sorry, Lovin' Experience Abu Dhabi show. Yeah. Hey guys, welcome to the Lovin' Experience Abu Dhabi show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We spoke about how the UAE is standing against Israel, 202 beggars arrested in Dubai, and why people are thinking Saudi Arabia in Miss Universe is controversial.
And so if you are not subscribed to the Lovin' Dubai... No. Okay. And so if you are not subscribed to the Lovin' Experience Abu Dhabi show, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. And do not forget, as always, to just enjoy the show.
Good morning, Dubai. Welcome back to the Lovin' Abu Dhabi Experience show, where we go through the top trending stories that everyone across the country is talking about. Our top story for you today, the UAE stands against Israel's decision to seize Palestinian land.
As well, 202 beggars were arrested in the first 2 weeks of Ramadan in Dubai.
Saudi Arabia will participate in the Miss Universe pageant for the first time.
As well, the viral mosquito video that everyone can relate to.
Scratchy, scratchy. Also, later on in the show, we're super excited to have Dina Sari, who is on a mission, to save cats in Dubai.
As well, in Gaza, according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health in the Gaza Strip, the death toll has risen up to 32,490, while 74,889 have been injured, and more than 1.9 million people have been displaced from their homes.
Dubai Iftar time today is 6:37, and you can find up-to-date prayer times on the Lovin' Dubai website.
As well, it is fair to partly cloudy today with highs of 27 degrees.
I'm braving it. Mm-hmm. I'm getting my car washed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, you never know. At this point with Dubai, it's just reminding me of Turkey, because in Turkey, when we traveled to Turkey, I remember them telling us, hey, you can never know when it's going to rain, when it's not going to rain. So it's giving Turkey vibes.
Giving Turkey vibes. Yes. It's so impossible, as you said, when to know. And it's a bit of a faff having to get it washed. Well, not really when you use Cafu, but it's like, is it going to rain at the weekend? Should I get a wash? Should I not? It's a white car. I've never had a white car before, and it's annoying.
I mean, white cars are top tier. Just let me tell you that. I love it. And I really like, when I say,
yeah,
like,
but maintenance.
Yeah, but they're nice. You know what I mean? I feel like white does not suit all cars. Some of them look like Ubers. Some of them look really nice.
I like Ubers. Ubers are fancy.
I mean, I don't know. But like, for example, like if I would get, let's say, a small car, I wouldn't get it as like a white car. I would rather get it as a black car. But you have a nice car.
It's nice to have a car. 8:34, let's jump into our top story for you today.
So UAE stands against Israel's decision to seize Palestinian land. The UAE strongly opposes Israel's plans to take 8,000 hectares, which is the large areas of land in the Jordan Valley of Palestine. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs said that they reject any actions trying to change the area's history or laws.
It emphasized the importance of backing regional and global initiatives to promote peace in the Middle East and to stop unlawful actions that undermine the possibility of a two-state solution and the creation of an independent Palestinian nation. The ministry reaffirmed the UAE's strong dedication to achieving peace and fairness and the fulfillment of Palestinian rights.
Moreover, it urged the global community to increase efforts to achieve an urgent ceasefire to prevent more casualties and avoid escalating the situation in the occupied Palestinian territory.
The news was shared via WAM, which is the government news agency. And if you'd like more information on that, you can check out the website. It will also be on Love in Dubai later today. Let's jump into our next story, one that I know got a lot of reaction. Mm-hmm.
So we've spoken about a beggar that was arrested earlier. However, 202 beggars were arrested in the first 2 weeks of Ramadan in Dubai. The holy month of Ramadan, as we all know, is a time of generosity and giving back. There are many ways you can make a difference that are encouraged. One thing that is highly discouraged is giving money to beggars. Beggars use this time and take advantage of people's generosity for their personal gain. Dubai police has arrested 202 beggars in the first 2 weeks of Ramadan as part of their anti-begging campaign.
So in summary, 112 men and 90 women were arrested for begging. interestingly, excuse me, most of them are here on a visit visa. So they've come to the UAE to do just that, extricate money from your pockets. Violators may be subject to a minimum fine of 5,000 dirham and up to 3 months in prison, i.e. not worth it. As for those who organize begging rings and fly people from abroad to join, they could be subject to a minimum fine of 100,000 dirham and 6 months in jail.
As well, members of the public are advised to report any illegal activities or begging by calling 901 or using the Police Eye service on the app or as well Police Smart app, which, by the way, we see a lot of beggars in Dubai.
And do you? I don't see many.
Oh, God, you have to see it. It's like, you know, like when like my dad's driving the car or I'm even driving the car, it's like they just like come or they just like pretend like they don't have an arm or something like that. And I know it's a lie. You know what I mean?
Well, they may not.
No, it's a lie. I promise you it's a lie. Because like specifically in Ramadan, they know that people are giving and they know that Ramadan is the holy month of giving and people don't want to, you know, they want to do good, specifically like it's Ramadan and you get good deeds for it, you know, and people avoid being, let's say, like mean or rude or things like that. So they know that.
True. And we know they're capitalizing on a giving time. What's interesting is Nehru's, excuse me, in the comments said, I understand why it's illegal, but I still feel terrible for them. But I think what the police have highlighted in this report is of the 202, the majority of them are on visit visas. And then they also highlighted what the fines are for people organizing begging rings. So what we can understand and assume is this isn't probably a solo job. This is people organizing begging rings from outside of the country and preying on the UAE as targets, people in this country. And that's what the police are trying to stamp out. And that's why they're 100%. Asking for your help.
100%. Because like, you know what happens is I think that let's say like they live in another country. The let's say the money wise, like if one dirham here probably makes a lot in their country. So they come here on visit visas and they take a lot of like, let's say like 10, 20, let's say in like a day they can make 100 dirhams, which is really, does really well in their country. And they're like, whoa, okay, fine. I got like a very good well-off salary that I can spend off in my country. And that's what happens. And we fall for it because we feel bad and they know that we're going to feel bad. And specifically in the month of Ramadan, that is the most when we feel bad.
Well, you know what? I shouldn't promote this, but like if you can, offer to buy them lunch, offer to buy them a meal, because it's interesting. Andy Gary Winnie in the comments said, the day I realized that they pretended to be beggars, yet it's their business and make a lot of money from them, I support UAE government. And when you buy them food and they refuse it, they only want money. So that's quite an interesting one. Look, when we say them, it's as though we're blanketing. And of course, there are people that need money. So it's a really tricky one. But if you're in that situation and you're not sure, the rules of the government is not to do it. But for example, suggest buying a healthy meal.
100%. And as well, you could just like donate through, you know, like I would say initiatives that are all around the UAE. There are a lot of initiatives that you can participate in to actually help the need, people who are in need, and actually, you know, donate. But when someone comes up to you like, hey, I need money, I think it's, you know, it's a lot for a reason. And they probably come in like a ring of like crimes, right? So just like don't do it.
And the homeless situation in this country in comparison to other countries, there is a significant difference. I remember I visited the States a couple of years ago and I was so surprised to see, I was in San Francisco, which is I think where the majority of homeless in the States have migrated towards. And it's because in this country, there are laws, you have to have a working visa or be an Emirati and therefore you're provided for. So it's against the law to be homeless and therefore it's not on the streets. And I think there's a lot to be said for the UAE government in that we provide healthcare. Healthcare is provided as part of your work visa. And there's, you know, specific opportunities for people as long as you have your work visa. So it's just, it's not on the streets. And in comparison to other countries, I feel like we're nearly in a bubble in terms of how safe our streets are.
No, I agree with you.
But in this case, there tends to be a rise in the holy month of Ramadan. And the authorities are saying it's down to begging rings.
100%. So moral of the story, just don't give money to beggars.
Let's jump into our next story. Saudi Arabia will participate in Mrs. Universe, for the first time. Saudi is here to make history. So a well-known model and influencer, Rumi Al-Qahtani, is all set to represent Saudi Arabia at the Miss Universe pageant 2024, which is scheduled to take place on 18th of September in Mexico.
Crowned as Miss Saudi Arabia, Rumi has represented the kingdom in multiple international competitions, and she also holds titles such as Miss Middle East and Miss Arab World Peace 2021, and according to Levin Riyadh.
So this will be the first time the Kingdom of Saudi has made its debut at Miss Universe. And as you said, it's according to Love and Riyadh, which is one of our sister pages in Saudi. If you want the latest on what's happening in Saudi, do go check it out. But interestingly, the comments on the post aren't really supporting it. And I think it's because of the way that the announcement pictures were portrayed.
100%. Mainly it has had a lot of controversy because of the flag. The flag has the La Ilaha Illallah. People were like, why are you using that? Why don't you just use the actual, plain Saudi flag? Now, I think, honestly...
Can you explain what that is?
So technically Saudi is a Muslim country, and that is it's very significant for Islam. Because the Kaaba is there, people go there, and that's where they practice their religion. So the flag, La Ilaha Illallah, is the Shahada, if let's say someone wants to convert to Islam, all that they need to do is say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And the Saudi flag has that, and it has the other flag. So people attacked her because she did not actually have the Saudi flag, but rather she had the La ilaha illallah. Which technically, I think, honestly, it's kind of unfair, because in that case, she still is showing... She's still showing that she is a proud Muslim. She didn't show I'm not Saudi or something like that. She probably said that in the competition. But I think that's why people attacked her.
It is. I think the act of her joining shows that the tides for Saudi are changing. And we've watched with keen interest over the last couple of years how the country has shifted dramatically. Cinemas, concerts, world-class events are now drifting into Saudi, and this is just a small mark in terms of a female representing Saudi on a world stage, but then the comments coming through on the Love and Riyadh pager, it shows what the people are saying. They just kind of, it's actually more, as you said, it's about the flag, because it's don't touch the flag. I don't even want to actually read them out, because some are a bit negative, but I don't want to host it, but there's a mixed, I don't want to host the negativity, but there is a mixed response to her representing Saudi the images that they shared, which I think seems to be more of the issue.
I think honestly people are going to have opinions no matter what, and specifically because Saudi has recently opened up, and it has become a different country according from what we knew Saudi used to be. So because of that, people are why aren't you not holding the Saudi flag? Why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing that? And they're very, very I would say pinpointing on every little detail, when in fact her holding the La ilaha illallah is a very, very big movement. Because back then, when someone says La ilaha illallah, people would associate that with terrorism. Because that's what terrorists would be La ilaha illallah, boom, we're bombing you. But back then, of course, let's say terrorist organizations. But the phrase of Islam. So even if she, held it and did not hold, the Saudi flag with the plain one, that's fine. They're just commenting.
It's interesting to see how cities and cultural norms can change. And just because these are the times that we grew up in, or these are the times that we live in, does not mean that in 20 years' time things will be the same. Saudi, 100%. Even, 20, 30, 40 years ago, back in the 70s, had a totally different culture.
True.
And just because for the last 20, 30 years it's been something, doesn't mean that we're not going to see a massive shift, and these types of announcements will become more normal. But as always, you guys are here for the comments, so if you want to jump onto the Love and Riyadh page, give it a follow, and you can get more updates on that story there. 8:45, jumping into our next story, we're talking about the viral video that everyone can relate to. So our favorite blogger, DXB Hun, aka Carl Stevens, who we actually had on the show not too long ago, she is serving facts with a video that she posted that racked up nearly 1.3 million views. The video, quite simple. She basically says mosquito bites are acting like vampires this year, and clearly everyone can relate.
Yes, the video has been viewed over a million times. So the question is, have you ever been bitten by a mosquito?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
No, but have you, like recently, in recent times, the last week?
Mm-hmm.
Scratchy,
yes.
Scratchy?
All over my leg.
Everywhere.
It's so annoying. And it's like, I want to get rid of it. Actually, my sister has gotten me something, but it's still, it's like, it's so annoying. And it's like, it keeps on like itching and then it burns and it's like, it becomes red and it's...
They're so satisfying,
yeah,
to itch at the same time. You gotta itch them.
God, no.
I went to the salon and I came back and my legs were just... Because I was outside yesterday evening for a little bit, no bites.
Yeah.
People are saying it's a little bit too all of the rain and the stagnant water, by the way. But then I spent one evening in the salon and I came back maybe a week ago and I was... bitten to shreds. It was awful. But everyone has their own. Do you have any like hacks for soothing the pain?
I do. I actually like to just like put some water.
Stretching.
And my sister, because she's gone to France, and she's gotten me this gel that I can just like put on,
yes,
the thing. And
like an aloe vera or something.
Yes, literally. And it's so good. It's, by the way, it's for everything. It's apparently for burns. I don't know why I didn't put it. I got my hand burned. But it's really good and just like soothes it so, in a very, I would say, it just, I can't explain it. Just like a feeling
works.
That I cannot explain. I think maybe if you get like bitten by a mosquito, maybe I can just like give you the cream and you can try it out for yourself.
I do use like an aloe vera, but we got a comment, which ones I haven't heard before. We are not using, this is not medical advice,
yes,
surprisingly. but someone says use castor oil for the skin. It's insane how quick it heals. And plant basil in your gardens or balcony. I don't know who has. I wish I was adult enough to have plant basil in my garden. You can place the basil plants everywhere and then less mosquitoes will
bite you.
Swarm. There'll be less around. Apparently they don't like it.
I mean, there's a saying, I'm not sure. This is not scientific. It's just like saying that whenever I get bitten by a mosquito in Syria, they say that to me. It's like, oh yeah, because your blood is sweet.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. I'm like, it's like, I think they just would say that because they want to just like make sure that.
That's like when the bird poops on your head and they're,
yeah,
like, that's for good luck.
Good luck.
Good,
yeah,
things
good
are
luck.
Coming. No,
literally.
You got pooped on.
Yeah, you did. It's like, literally, it's actually a thing. But yeah, it's like whenever like I get bitten by a mosquito, my mom goes like, oh yeah, because you have sweet blood.
Sweet
it's
blood.
Like,
well, I had very sweet blood at the salon last week and now I can't stop thinking about it. Let's jump into our next story. As we introduced at the beginning of the show, this is the Love and Experience Abu Dhabi show and it's time to plan your Eid getaway in Abu Dhabi. So as we find ourselves halfway through the holy month of Ramadan, let's uncover the best Abu Dhabi experiences so far. So from the stunning Qasr Al Watan to the hands-on creativity at Studio Clay, and not to mention the first ever Michelin-starred Emirati restaurant. But wait, there's so much more. So with Eid just around the corner, the capital is preparing for an even bigger celebration.
Of course, as well, previous series have been brought us captivating musical performances, cultural showcases, family-friendly activities, and unbeatable retail experiences. And this year promises to take it up a notch. So whether you are a local looking for an adventure or a visitor seeking unforgettable experiences, Abu Dhabi has it all. Start planning your Eid getaway now for a holiday filled with excitement and discovery. So of course, for more information, don't forget to check out their website, visit abudhabi.ae.
So many amazing reasons to visit the capital. I urge you to go tag at Love and Abu Dhabi and Love and Dubai in your stories so we can reshare them. The capital is just a plethora of unique cultural activities. And I think there's actually, I had the luxury of going down maybe during Ramadan 2 years ago. And of course, with the Eid coming up and actually having holidays to read it, like there's a lot of things for all ages. Like this one.
I mean,
so
it's
we recommend
a
it.
Thing. It's a thing, you know, like when Eid comes, it's a thing that for everyone after fasting, they should get on a getaway and they leave the city that they're in or either travel, but mainly they leave the city that they're in because, like, of course, Ramadan is very tiring, right? So they go to Abu Dhabi and they book a staycation, they do some fun things, which I used to do with my family and I still do. We used to go to, I remember in my childhood, to like either Ferrari World, child, oh my God, yes, island and all these things. And it's like, oh, and I have like pictures, I still do, you know, it's like.
Of course, the best memories.
Literally, they are. And the best thing is like, you know, because like you wake up and you have like the first breakfast in the morning. Parents have the first coffee after not having coffee so long, right? And it's like, it's just an experience.
So beautiful. Mm-hmm. So do check out visitabudhabi.ae for more information on all of the experiences you can enjoy. Do stay tuned. It's 8:51, which means it's time for our next guest. Dina Sari is on a mission to save local cats. We're going to have her in studio right after this very short break. Welcome back to the Love and Experience Abu Dhabi show. Today's guest is Dina Taji, a true animal lover and hero for kittens in Dubai. We're here to talk to her about her mission to save strays in the city. Welcome to the show. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Actually.
And it's so important that you have me here to really raise awareness about the rescuing here in strays in the UAE. So thank you so much.
We're excited to have you on.
Yes, thank you so much for being here since I'm a cat person and I love cats. So
I'm not, but I still support your cause.
No. Dog person, yeah?
I mean, I'm just an animal person. Yeah. But, you know, in general, what made you start rescuing cats? Because we know that you are more in the fitness journey.
So when I was a child, I always loved animals, especially my father. He would always tell me stories from the Quran and about Abu Huraira. And he'd tell me, come every morning, let's go feed the birds. And he'd feed a little cat and all of that. So I was always an animal lover. And when I came here, I've been here for 17 years now. So this is my home. But I never realized the amount of strays that were everywhere. I'd see maybe a cat that's at the supermarket and I'd go to the supermarket, get it and always come by and give it food. So what happened was I was having a little bit of health issues. I was like, I had this lack of circulation of blood in my arms and legs and they were starting to get numb. And I was like, that's weird. I'm super fit. I work out every day. But I was also on the computer a lot of the times because I was studying at the time. So I went to this Chinese medical center and they scan your body. And it pops up on the screen and it lets you know everything about your body. And they told me, they're like, you have lack of circulation in your arms and legs. And I didn't even tell them. So I was like, oh my God. So I said, you know what? I'm going to get rid of my car and I'm going to start cycling to work. It's only 20 minutes away. So when I started cycling, I started seeing cats along the way. So I started taking cat food with me and started feeding them. And then I started enjoying cycling so much. I started going all around Dubai. I'd go all the way to Kite Beach. I'd go all the way down Jumeirah. I'd go all around Al-Quds because I lived in Al-Barsha. So, and then I just started seeing more and more and more. So I'd carry one backpack here, and just like, and they would all wait for me. So I'd go from 4:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock, I'd pray Fajr, and I'd be like, okay, my first fitness class is at 6 a.m., so I'm going to go early because I realize that's when the cats come out even more. And they'd all run towards the bicycle, and I'm like, oh my God. So then I started seeing sick cats, and I'm like, oh wow. And it's like really bad. They're really sick sometimes because they're living under the worst conditions. It's very hot, they're dehydrated, their body's shutting down. So little by little, I'd put one in my bag, take cape. I would even film it. I'd start putting it on my chest right here and started taking them to the vet. And then that's really how it all started. And then it just grew from there.
How interesting that a change in habit could essentially change your life and your passion.
Oh my God, it did.
I think feeding in particular isn't recommended here. It's not legal here in the UAE.
I think people kind of misinterpret that because, you know, this is an Islamic country. They love animals. And it's a very clean, hygienic country. They really take care of their environment. I think the problem is raised because of the communities where people are just putting wet food everywhere. And they put plates and the plates, you know, get blown away by the wind. And then it attracts a lot of rats. And you have children playing and running around in the playgrounds. And it's not clean. So I think this is where it originates from. Because they see me all the time. They have no problem because they see I'm cleaning and, you know, I'm putting it away and I'm not causing any problems and stuff like that. So I think this is the main issue.
Mm-hmm. So as a cat lover, I love cats. And whenever I see a stray cat as well, I do tend to have, you know, like, you know, like a pack of like food, you know, just to, like, feed the cat. Yeah. Like, you know, at a certain area where a cat all the time waits for me. So what do you advise? Like, sometimes because we cannot take the cat back home, my mom is not a cat
definitely.
Person. What can we do if, let's say, I find a stray cat and I just want to give it away to, like, I don't know, I can't take it. What can I do in that case?
So let's, like, kind of categorize things on how we can try to solve this problem. You have your rescuing, you have your feeding, and you have your adopting. So when it comes to rescuing, The most important thing is to try to focus on solving the problem of this overpopulation of stray cats. So what we do is we call it TNR. So we try to start TNR programs. That means you trap the cat, you get it neutered, which is castrated so that it doesn't have babies, which in the beginning I was totally against. But then when you start to see dead kittens everywhere constantly, you're like, oh my God, they're really struggling to survive on the street. So you're actually doing them a favor by castrating them, and then you release them back to their colony. And this is the most important thing so that we can limit the amount of strays first that's out on the streets. That's the most important thing. Second thing, you have many people with beautiful hearts and would love to be able to help, but they just don't have the finances to be able to do it. They don't have a car, they cannot transport it, like you said, or bring it back home to their house. So what you can do is you can join the many different Facebook groups, Instagram followers, like rescuers that you can follow, communicate with them, get in touch with everyone, because what you can do is you could say, I would love to help this cat that I found, but I don't know what to do. I can't afford to take it to the vet. Is there some way that we can, you know, raise funds or get people to sponsor the treatment or something? And that's where a lot of people reach out to me. And then I also reach out to a lot of rescuers. We're like a team on a group, and we try to help each other out with what we can do. We have one person that's really good at transporting. We have one person that is really good at trapping. You know what I mean? So we work together as a community.
Wow, there is so much there to question. And I want to know who the we is, but also, can you give people an idea? I've heard some shocking statistics before. Yeah. Do you have any idea of the background of number of strays and what happens if TNR isn't done, like what that could mean for the stray population?
I really can't answer that. I really don't know. Let's just say a lot. Mm-hmm. It is a lot, especially in the industrial areas as well. That's where the cats suffer the most. But luckily, there's such many beautiful people here in the UAE that are actually doing a lot of rescuing, and many that are not on social media, you know, and you have these older women, they're like, I don't know how to use social media. I'm like, bless your heart, I need to help you and show you how to do it. And they're doing a lot of TNR as well. So there are many people that are involved, but the more people that can get involved, we can actually just solve this problem. So after Eid, I'm putting together a big event at one of my friends. She opened up a vegan restaurant, and I'm going to gather as many people who want to take part so that we can trap as many as we can together at the same time and scatter all the cats around to many different vets all around the UAE so that we can make a big impact in a very fast time frame.
Interesting.
Yes.
So there is this misconception that stray cats are not clean. And when someone wants to get a cat, they go like, oh yeah, this was a street cat, we're not gonna get it. Mm-hmm. And they tend to buy the cat instead of adopting a cat that was once a stray cat.
Yes.
So do you think the misconception that these stray cats are actually not clean?
Yeah. Subhanallah, mashallah, in the Quran, everything is just so accurate. And when we always go back to the Quran, later we start to realize, okay, now I understand why that was mentioned. And it's mentioned how cats are actually the cleanest animals. And that's why it's okay to have them in your home if they're on your prayer rug and everything. And you don't have to wash up more, you know, to do extra wudu if you touch a cat, because they're naturally very clean and they clean themselves actually half of their day. But that's if they're hydrated. So when a cat looks like they have a lot of dirt on them, is because they're very dehydrated. They don't have the saliva to be able to clean themselves. But they don't really carry diseases like that where it's contagious to humans. There is like ringworm, where it can go with cream, and that is contagious, but everything else is usually from one cat to another, not from a cat to a human. So by solving the problem of the overpopulated strays, we have to avoid buying cats from the pet shops, because this is just creating more breeders. And this is the problem. Many of them, if they're not getting bought, they end up getting dumped on the street and so forth. So that's why it's like, it's very important to try to save a life.
It just feels like it's this
constant cycle that's never ending.
Exactly.
So we have to get to the core of the problem.
Your event sounds really interesting, but for someone who's never done it, what does trap mean in the TNR cycle?
Trap means you got to try to catch it. Because these cats, they've probably been abused and kicked, and they don't know. They never had that interaction with a human and been loved and hugged, so they don't know. So that's why they get very scared when you come close to them. So you have to have people where you put cages and the food is in the cage. They either walk in it. You have drop traps so that you pull the rope when they get close by. Or you have people that are very, you know, professionals with gloves and they can grab it. So that's why you need people who are experienced in that, because they'll get scared. They can bite you. They can scratch you, which will hurt. It may not, you know, spread any disease, but, you know, It's scary. Yeah, so that's what it means. It means you trap the cat, you catch it, you take it to the vet, which is very affordable. You get charity rates for like 100 dirham to 200 dirham to neuter the cat, and that's it. You know, but if you're getting a lot of them and you do a TNR program, they give you a great price and you do it together and it can go from 50 dirham. And a lot of the vets actually sponsor it as well and do it for free.
Wow.
Yes.
Interesting.
That's incredible. So there are a lot of stray cats. Mm-hmm. But why, as an animal lover, why do you think there are no stray dogs? Like we don't see that around.
There's many stray dogs, actually. But luckily, you have a lot of people that are rescuing those dogs. You have huge shelters that are in Ras Al Khaimah and all around the UAE. They're packed with thousands of dogs, and they're struggling to pay bills and to maintain the shelter. So there is a lot, but luckily you have many people that are making sure they get them off the streets. But yes, it's not as common as cats, because cats can get pregnant every 3 months, and they just, yes, so it's like every 3 months, that's why you'll feed a cat, and then a couple months later, you're like, what happened here?
I wish I had the statistics, but I heard the number of if no TNR is done and the stray cats situation is allowed to multiply in cities, it could be, I don't know, billions or something, like millions
probably,
of cats.
Probably, I wouldn't
by a certain
be surprised.
Date. It's just wild.
Just the amount. I've rescued thousands. And every time
you've rescued thousands of cats?
Well, I've been doing it for, let's say, 10 years. So I don't know about thousands, but let's say over 1,000. You know what I mean? But I've rescued a lot of other people's cases as well, and I help them, and I sponsor the treatments and everything. So.
And what's like the biggest challenge do you think you and the cat rescuing community face?
Finances, because you have many of these cats that have certain diseases that they carry that require long treatments that could cost $20,000 for each cat easily. Cats need to stay at the vet for a long period of time for isolation, making sure that it's not contagious to other cats. And these bills can run up easily. You have every rescuer has probably more than 50,000 dirham at their vet bill. Like I've just spent maybe more than 50-something thousand just in the past month. But luckily, I have a wonderful lady who partnered with me and we're doing this together, because God did answer my prayers, because I was like, I can't do this alone. I wish there was someone else that can help me. There's so many cats. And I swear to God, I prayed a Tarawih prayer, and then this woman messaged me. You know, after Tarawih, a doctor messaged me from Yo Dubai. She's a very famous lawyer here, Dr. Manela Mansouri. So if you ever have a case where you're trying to help someone, help a cat, or a cat's been trapped in your community, or someone has abused your pet, you contact Dr. Manela Mansouri from Yo Dubai. She's very professional. She's local, and her family are very well known for being lawyers here. And I was like, I need to raise awareness. I need to be able to take this and do something bigger with this. And I prayed Tarawih. And the next day, she sent me a 20-minute voice note on WhatsApp. And we're like, we're going to do something together on social media. I said, oh my God. But before that, I was doing Fajr prayer, and I prayed. I said, Ya Rab, I want to be able to take on more cases. You know, it's difficult. What am I going to do? I'm doing this all by myself. Luckily, my husband, he's doing it with me as well, you know, but I can't, you know, burden him so much. Let's keep going every day. So this woman messaged me, and luckily now we're doing much more than what I was doing in the beginning.
I have goosebumps. I have to ask, do you have any idea, if that's in the last month, how much money you've put towards stray cats in the last 10, 15 years?
Oh my gosh. Wow. It's a lot, because I take the worst cases. That's why. Because to me, I'm like, okay, you're still healthy and you're probably going to have more babies, but you probably could die any second. So I try to give them a chance at life. So that's why when I take the worst cases, most people won't take, because they know that's going to cost $10,000, that's going to cost $20,000. There's no way I'm going to be able to handle it. And because I've been doing it for years, the vets, they know me. So I'm like, okay, I'll pay you back soon. You know, give me some little credit right now. And they're like, all right, it's okay, Dina. So yeah, I wouldn't be able to put a number to it, but it's a lot. Yeah.
So aside from the sad kitten stories or cat stories, can you tell us about a success story of like a rescue kitten that brings you just like happiness and joy and warmth?
The latest one. Oh my God, you wouldn't. It was actually the latest one, because I recently started sending cats abroad. I never did that before. I didn't know how the system worked exactly, but I was never on social media. I just used to do it and I never filmed it. So I just started connecting with all of these rescuers on Facebook just recently. So they're like, Dina, you got to send them abroad. So there was this one cat in El Coz, an industrial area, and it had a rope tied around her arm and it was like hanging and she couldn't walk on it. And we couldn't trap this cat for like 2 weeks. And I'm like, oh my God. I finally trapped her, beautiful cat, all white, so cute. And finally trapped her, took her, they had to amputate her arm. And I was like, oh my God, you know, who's gonna adopt her? This is difficult, three legs. And I'm like, oh, I hope so. So I started contacting people in the UK and Sweden and Germany. And I sent her out, she just arrived. And the lady, she sent me a video and the cat is sleeping with her baby. And they're in bed and she just looks so happy, so safe and peaceful. I was like, from El Cos to the UK, living her best life.
Wow. So, I mean, honestly, it's beautiful because
I got goosebumps.
I want to cry.
I know. Don't get me emotional because me, I cry easily.
Oh, my days. What you're doing is so impeccable. Yeah. It's so amazing. For people, like, do you have any tips for anyone who would like to get involved? Or what is your message to anyone watching right now?
Just to be part of the community groups, you know, get involved, try to learn more. Follow some rescuers that are out there. You have so many that I'm following from my page. Connect with them, learn, say, how can I help? What is needed right now? And just, you know, connect with them and just be part of it any way that you can. Everyone has something to offer. Even if it's the little thing, when we come all together, it makes a huge impact.
Well, thank you. Actually, no, because I love cats and kittens so much, and I feel like that they are not treated the way that they should be treated, and specifically stray cats. And people do often go to buy instead of adopt cats, which is very, by the way, like, sad. And so what are, like, the misconceptions of stray cats that you would want to address to people, other than cleanliness and...
It's also a completely different connection when you rescue a stray cat from the street and you provide it a safe, loving home. It's like they look at you in their eyes. You know, it's hard for people to understand that unless they go through it. You know, people are very distant sometimes. But when you have that and you're like, now I know why. It's another connection. You see it in the cat's eyes and soul. It looks at you and it says, thank you so much for saving me. So it's like you're saving a life. Every cat deserves a loving home, no matter what. You know what I mean? But it's that we need to stop the breeders from breeding these cats when we can save them from the street. You know, and many people don't know that. You know, they go, they don't know where to get a cat. And like you said, they want to make sure it's tested and clean. So they don't know. They think if I get it from the street, I don't know it's going to bring it home to my children. So I completely understand that. But there's really nothing to be afraid of. You take it to the vet, you get it fully checked for a couple of hundred dirham, and then you know, it's fine to be in my home, it's castrated and tested, there's nothing wrong with that. They're no different than any other cat that's at the pet shop. And it's just beautiful to be able to know that you saved their life instead of actually buying them from the shop.
Strong message. If people want to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Dubai Street Kitties on Instagram is the best way, so you can check out all my stories and see how you can be part of the community.
I love how this show connects us with people doing amazing things. Dina, we really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you. God bless you guys.
Guys, that is all we have time for on the Love and Experience Abu Dhabi show. We're back with you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.